Monday Night Rugby on Off the Ball.
With Vodafone, official sponsors of the Irish rugby team. Team of us, everyone in.
Welcome along to Monday Night Rugby. Ireland now know their path to a potential first ever semi-final at the Rugby World Cup. Standing in their way, the back-to-back champions, New Zealand, coming up this Saturday in Tokyo. Ireland qualifying for the quarterfinals after putting in probably their best performance of the tournament so far, getting a bonus point victory, 47 points to 5 against Samoa at the weekend. New Zealand have had their feet up for almost 2 weeks now due to the super typhoon. Their game against Italy wasn't played, so Steve Hansen's side are well rested ahead of the game against Ireland this weekend. Ireland have made their way to Disneyland, where they're staying just outside Tokyo ahead of the game this weekend. And also in Tokyo at the moment is Rory O'Connor, rugby writer with the Irish Independent, and he joins us now. Rory, I suppose for your time, good morning to you, first of all.
I'm not really sure what time of the day it is. Well, I think it's bedtime, I think is the answer. But good morning to you, or good afternoon, good evening, whatever it is. I'm a bit confused.
Well, Bundy Aki, I'd imagine that decision in terms of the disciplinary has probably been keeping you up awake for the last few hours. We know now his Rugby World Cup is almost certainly over, pending any kind of extra appeal.
Yeah, so the RFU are saying they're considering any appeal. They basically will receive a full written judgment. There's a short version of the written judgment up on World Rugby's website now, but the full written judgment will come out explaining World Rugby's decision. And at that point, the RFU will decide whether it's worth lodging an appeal or not. I'd say they probably will, although World Rugby's statement was quite thorough today. It went into six separate reasons as to why they've opted for this suspension. Ireland decided to contest the decision altogether rather than just try and mitigate the ban. They said it wasn't a red card, and flew over a partner from William Fry, the law firm, Derek Hegarty. David Usafour, the RFU performance director, was in the room. So was Vinnie Hammond, the performance analyst at the RFU. He was actually up for media this morning back in Fukuoka. So they went heavy at it, but they weren't able to convince the three-man committee. There was a lawyer, a former referee, and Frank Haddon, the former Scotland coach on that committee. They weren't able to convince them there was enough mitigation. He was hit with a six-week ban, but based on his good behaviour and good conduct, it was reduced to three, which seems to always happen in these rugby hearings, unless you've been a very ball boy over the course of your career.
Having read the disciplinary a little earlier on, it seemed very clear as well that they weren't taking into account, they said, look, it was a split-second tackle with Bundy Aki, but the ruling was that he didn't make enough of an adjustment not to make contact with the head. That seems to have been crucial here.
Yeah, and even the fact that they used the phrase dominant collision, that it wasn't reactive, that he was going out to make a kind of a statement tackle, as he's known for as a player. He's not known as a dirty player. His tackle technique is usually very, very good. But it's one of those moments. It's a bit like when a footballer miscontrols the ball and goes chasing it and lunges at the ball and gets himself sent off. When Robbie Henshaw threw that loose pass and it bobbled along, suddenly the game went into a bit of chaos, popped up into the Samoan player's hands, and Aki lined them up and just got it completely wrong. I'm not surprised by three games. I think the written judgment that we've seen so far is pretty clear cut. But I do think that Ireland will, even just if they can get him back on the pitch if they're here for the final or the semi-final, it'll be worth it, because I think while they'll have a very good chance of beating New Zealand this Saturday without him, because Gary Ringrose and Robbie Henshaw are very good players, they have to consider the long game as well. And losing Aki reduces their ability to rotate in midfield. He can't train while he's here, as far as I can read it. He will remain in Japan. They can't replace him. Even the fact that Will Addison is injured, if they could replace him, they'd be looking at Rory Scannell. You know, it's a blow to the squad. It's a blow to Ireland's overall World Cup chances. Now, whether they're here or not next week remains to be seen. They're 12-point outsider against the All Blacks, so it may be Connacht who pay the price.
Well, Bundy Aki, I suppose, crucially, since he's made his debut, has played 23 out of 28 games. So his importance to Joe Schmidt's Ireland can't be underestimated here.
Yeah. Well, there's basically been a revolving door of centre partners alongside him, because other players have been injured and he's pitched up every week. We've never had, I think it was just 1 week in Australia in the second test, when Joe Schmidt has actually had Robbie Henshaw, Gary Ringrose and Bundy Aki to pick from. And like, we've written articles about, we've spoken on it in studio there many times about what's the first choice centre partnership. We may never know, because this World Cup, well, certainly with Joe, he may never get the pick from them at all. But Bundy, you're right, only Tadhg Furlong and Cian Healy have represented Ireland more in the time that Bundy Aki has been available to play for Ireland. He's been robust, he's been durable, he's been very, very good. He's been central to some of Ireland's great wins over the course of the last couple of years, not least the 2018, last year's win over New Zealand. He was excellent that day. And it's a great... And, you know, when you consider the move that he made to come to Connacht, this World Cup would have been part of that for him. This would have been the pinnacle that he was trying to achieve. I know there are critics of the residency law. There have been critics of Bundy Aki, but he's been an ultra-committed player for Ireland. He's been very, very good. And it's a terrible way for him for that. I mean, he'll be 33 at the next World Cup. Life will move on. This could have been his shot, and he may never get to have it, and that's very unfortunate as well.
You mentioned last November's game against the All Blacks in Dublin and how crucial Bundy Aki was there. He made 18 carries on the night and got through a wealth of work in terms of the defensive side of the ball that night as well.
Yeah, he was excellent. He was excellent, and he was up. He was alongside Gary Ringrose that day. That day, it was just Ireland's physicality that day that really set the tone from minute one, and he was a large part of that. Anytime Ireland are physically dominant, he's just such a robust player. He's such a tough tackler, a big carrier of the ball. He commands the respect of the All Blacks. I mean, a lot of them have played with him. I was at the All Blacks press conference today. He was, you know, Anton Leonard-Brown would have been coming through with the Chiefs when Bundy was there. They played together. Sam Kane was alongside him. They spoke very highly of him. Sam Kane would, you know, would have been his captain when they won the Super Rugby Championship there, I think. Bordy Retallick, another Chief. There's a lot of respect for Bundy Aki in that dressing room. I think Ireland have the All Blacks' respect and attention at this stage after the two wins and three games. But there was a time where Brian O'Driscoll's name was the only one they knew off by heart. They know who Bundy Aki was. He is definitely a loss. I'm not sure if he would have played this weekend. I think Gary Ringrose probably would have come back in and played alongside Robbie Henshaw, although he was rusty. There's not much of a choice now. Those two will start.
Yeah, I suppose those two are probably going to be paired. There's very little chance Chris Farrell comes into the mix here, just purely because of how little game time Robbie Henshaw has had, and given he's just off the back of a hamstring injury here.
Yeah, I think there is a defined hierarchy there, and I think Farrell himself would probably, you know, privately admit that he is the fourth man in. I mean, he has done very well for Ireland, and he's been an excellent player for Munster. But Henshaw is one of Joshua's favourite players. He speaks about him so highly. Schmidt has referred a couple of times back to his performance against France 4 years ago when he was just outstanding in that last pool game. And then Ringrose just gives that creativity, that spark that Ireland need. I think if you're playing South Africa, Chris Farrell does come into the mix. And I think Bundy Aki would have started against South Africa if that's who Ireland were playing. But against the All Blacks, who represent a very different proposition, who will cause all sorts of defensive issues for Ireland, they'll need that Gary Ringrose cleverness. He's light of foot, and he's also got the ability to break the game wide open. So it's a nice combination. It's a very settled combination outside of Johnny Sexton. That 10, 12, 13 know each other so well from Leinster. So I don't think there's any fear that they won't pitch up and play well this weekend. They're all good players. I think it's more if they go further, you know, that's something we'll address further on in the tournament. I think that's when Bundy becomes a factor, because, you know, if you do this, if you want to win this World Cup, and Ireland have to be thinking this way, even though a lot of us, myself included, have kind of gone away from them as contenders for this World Cup. They may be playing England next week, followed by South Africa the week afterwards. That's going to take a physical toll, and you don't want to be losing a player and not being able to replace him. That's a big blow.
Rory, we'll talk more about New Zealand in a few minutes, but just in terms of Samoa, you were saying morale had improved in the camp, maybe helped by the preparations last week and some of the wives and partners coming over and maybe just some of the pressure being released ahead of this game. But in terms of the performance, that's probably Ireland's most complete 80 minutes of this Rugby World Cup so far.
Yeah, there was a combination of factors. The 9-day turnaround from Kobe and Samoa in Russia underneath that roof in Kobe, which was a really difficult evening for Ireland. They got to Fukuoka, they got a weekend off, they enjoyed themselves. They went out on Friday, they got around the place on Saturday. It was a nice city, it was a lot more relaxed than Tokyo. Over the course of the week, in contrast to what we'd heard earlier on in the tournament, that the wives and girlfriends weren't going to be arriving, suddenly, and parents and kids all started coming in, which I think was a sign that maybe they realised that the mood was bad, that it was quite hard to keep in touch with people back home, that they just were struggling a little bit with this tour and the how far it is from home, how difficult it is to communicate with people over here. And they just said, you know what, let's get the families over. And it does seem to have lifted them. I mean, the All Blacks were talking today, all their families are starting to arrive this week. It is important when you're away for this long. And I think all those factors fed into a very good performance. a performance that reflected the week's preparation, the fact that they had 9 days, that they had that weekend off, and then they had two training sessions at the start of the week. Big one on Thursday, captain's run, just that normality of a week that they had. So it was cohesive. It wasn't particularly pretty, but that's the way Ireland have gone under Joe Smith at this stage. And at this, you know, this might be his last week as Ireland coach. There's no point in cribbing about the game plan at this stage. It's just whether it works or not, because he's not going to start changing things. So it was very, very effective. And you've got to admire the fact that they got a man sent off after half an hour and still went on and scored, I think it was four more tries. That was pretty impressive stuff. The way they, I mean, Samoa were the perfect opposition for Joe Smith's Ireland. They gave away 17 penalties and didn't contest the line-out. I mean, it was the dream for an Irish team who liked to pin you into the 22 and hammer you until they score. So even with 14 men, they dominated possession territory. And it's a morale booster. You know, you mentioned that the All Blacks haven't played for so long. Ireland have built a little bit over the last couple of weeks. They're game-hardened, they're match-ready. And the team that plays this weekend will go out to Tokyo with a certain sense of belief.
Yeah, Joe Smith was saying at the weekend as well, he was asked directly about that after the game, trying to maybe manage having an extra fixture by comparison to their opponents, knowing pretty much full well at that point it was going to be New Zealand, because it seemed the game was going to be cancelled between Japan and Scotland when he was asked. But he said, look, we needed this game for sharpness. And when you look back at how they played against Samoa versus maybe the Labour performance against Russia, you get the feeling that 80 minutes was badly needed for Ireland at the weekend.
Yeah, I think it's a balance. I think Joe Smith would always have taken the week off to prepare, because it, you know, if he knew it was going to be the All Blacks, I think it's a frustration for him that he only found out last night here that it was the All Blacks. I think it'll probably frustrate him that he was only able to fly from Fukuoka to Tokyo today, a travel day this close to the game. You know, he put so much store in the preparation, all those little things, even the energy that's being expended in trying to get Bundiaki off this ban. That's little things that are chipping away, and 4 years ago, they all fed into a massive underperformance, but they're not coming off the emotional high. They got that job done without really expending the energy that they expended against France 4 years ago. They certainly didn't lose the bodies. They've obviously lost Aki, but they haven't lost the kind of four or five critical players to the team that they did 4 years ago. So they're in good nick, they're in good shape. I think over the course of 2018, we've gone from expecting performances to hoping for performances, but those performances are in there, so they have a nice bank of work over the last 4 years that they can draw back on now. The two wins over New Zealand, all those wins against South Africa, Australia, the Grand Slam against England, that's all feeding into the belief that they can go and do something this weekend. So I think the All Blacks would have preferred to play Italy. They had a massive training session on Friday. Apparently their GPS numbers were on par with playing a test match. But it's like, for all that you can do that with from a fitness perspective, you can't replicate the pressure and intensity of test match rugby. And like Brodie Retallick's only played half an hour since that game, that injury in the rugby championship back in July 27th. That's a long time of very little rugby. So I think Ireland are more match hardened, more battle hardened. But then the All Blacks have a good record of hitting the ground running.
Just looking at some of those performances from the weekend, Jordan Larmour's stats, he got through 17 carries, made nearly 70 metres, he beat 11 defenders, which is very impressive on an individual basis. And after the game, Joe Smith was asked about Larmour's performance and whether he's done enough to potentially be picked in the quarterfinal.
I think he keeps putting his hand up, and that's one thing that we really like about him. He puts his hand up no matter where he ends up. I do think, you know, when you think back to that Japan game, Jordan was playing 13, Luke McGrath was on the wing. Jordan ended up back at 13, he actually ended up at 12 tonight, and Keith Earls at 13. I think his flexibility, his enthusiasm is irrepressible. I don't know how many tackles he slipped tonight, but he got the ball under real pressure a few times and almost created opportunities from having the ball under pressure. When he got the ball with a little bit of time and space to move, I thought, you know, when he took the outside break and got the fend, and then the timing and accuracy of his inside offload to Johnny for the try, you know, was top notch. So, yeah, he's a youngster who we try to have involved. We're just not sure where sometimes. And sometimes he is a little bit maverick and he wanders around because he's not quite sure which position he's playing at any one time. But part of that's probably our fault because we keep swapping him around. But we swap him around because he's so versatile and because his skill set and his enthusiasm allow him to survive wherever we put him. And I thought he was really good tonight.
Rory, that's two big displays from Jordan Larmour now at 15, but I can't help but think that Rob Kearney comes back into the team here if he's 100% fit for this weekend, because people remember when Kearney was even a little bit out of form, the performance he put in against New Zealand at Soldier Field 3 years ago.
Yeah, I think, I don't know, maybe it's because I've been listening to him for so long, but my translation of that long Joe Schmidt answer is that Rob Kearney's coming back in at 15 next week. That Jordan Larmour played very well back on the bench. If we need you, we'll call on you. And, he may maybe call on and make a different impact. In fairness, he could be putting the wingers under pressure because Keith Earls and Jacob Stockdale have hardly been lighting this tournament up. Neither of them have scored yet. And Stockdale wasn't really in the game at the weekend after that big head collision early in the game. So, I think Larmour has done really, really well. And he's probably, I would say Andy Farrell has earmarked him as his fullback of the future once this World Cup is over. But I do think that Joe Schmidt has probably earned the right to select his tried and trusted for this game. And if you think about the way the All Blacks play and the way they picked apart South Africa in that first game with their crossfield kicking game, with their clever kicks in behind, there's no one like Rob Kearney to give you that assurance in the backfield to cover across, to win the ball. He scored two tries at this tournament as well, don't forget. He's kind of responded to the Jordan Larmour challenge. The only question is whether he'll train fully tomorrow. By tomorrow morning, we might have some, your time, we might have some more detail on that, because this tournament so far, it's been very strict. You train on Tuesday and you play. If you don't, you don't. And the suggestion is that Kearney did pick up a muscle injury in that game in Kobe, even though we are hearing that it's 30 fit players this weekend. So, 31 minus Aki. So, no, I think Kearney does play. I think he can almost pick the team now. I think Peter Omani's probably going to play as well. And he's going to go for his big game, tried and trusted players for what could be his last game as a coach.
What did you make of Johnny Sexton's comments this morning, particularly about the idea that they were a bit puzzled about the negativity about how the Irish team have been playing so far? He says, with the exception of an hour against Japan, he thinks Ireland are exactly where they'd want to be going into a quarter final.
He must have stayed in the dressing room after halftime in Kobe after he came off, because they were absolutely rubbish in that game. I mean, they can't expect us to, throw garlands at their feet when they lose a game from a winning position against, in a game that they were 20-point favourites for. Albeit Japan have proven themselves to be very, very good. And Steve Hansen actually said today that, they're quite happy not to be playing Japan because they're the form team in the tournament, which Ireland could take as a bit of a snub. I think Johnny's had this thing in his head about the media, and look, he's entitled to his opinion. I think people are realistic. If they want to be considered equals of the All Blacks and they dip below the performance levels of the standards that they set, they're going to receive criticism. But look, it's no harm for them to have a chip on their shoulder. It's no harm to feel like they're proving people wrong, that the world's against them a little bit. Sometimes that really works for Irish teams. We see it after All-Ireland finals every year. It's a motivation. Checa down in Australia's camp in Oita, the players are telling journalists that they're asking stupid questions today. It's a real siege mentality. No harm in that stuff sometimes. Really, it's water off a duck's back for those of us who have been critical. I think the criticism of Ireland has been pretty deserved. I don't think anyone wrote them off. Certainly I didn't. I still retain the faith in them to produce a once-off performance. I just think anyone who watched their defeats to England twice, Wales and Japan, would certainly have concerns about the way they're playing and the direction they're going ahead of this World Cup. But if they prove us all wrong, well and good. Then the garlands will start appearing once again.
Well, our rugby coverage here and Off the Ball with thanks to Vodafone, Team of Us, everyone in. You mentioned that Steve Hansen was up before the media today and he was speaking about facing Ireland. He was talking about the break between games for the All Blacks as well. And he very much came out on the front foot. This is what he had to say a little bit earlier.
They're a quality side. They've been number one this year. I think our last three results are loss, win, loss. So there won't be any complacency in our camp. So it's pretty exciting. We're right where we want to be. There's a lot of respect from both sides. And we played them in November. And it was a titanic struggle. And on the day, they were the better side. So not sure why they... most teams that we play get up 10% better than they normally do. And they're no different. Big difference here is it's a do or die game for both teams. So both teams are in good nick, fresh, excited, and you know, I can only speak on behalf of ourselves. We're really looking forward to the challenge. Oh, look, having a week off is not a bad thing. So, you know, we're quite excited by that fact. It's allowed us to work really hard Friday. GPS numbers were equivalent or just above what a normal test match would be, so we don't feel like we've lost any opportunity to get ourselves where we need to be. And we've got weaknesses like everybody else, so you've got to have a look at your own weaknesses as much as anybody else. And too, well, you know that Joe does a lot of study, so that can be a strength and a weakness.
Rory, interesting point on the back of Steve Hansen's comments there, and that was a selection of what he said earlier today, but the idea that maybe Joe Schmidt might overthink this game against the All Blacks.
Yeah, he was. Look, I made sure I got up for that press conference this morning. I missed Johnny Sexton and got an early flight to get up, because Steve Hansen is always box office, and he always tends in the week of big games to put himself forward for media duties on a Monday just to get the ball rolling, to throw a couple of grenades left, you know, across. And I know people think this is all a bit of media nonsense, this mind game stuff, but he wouldn't do it if he didn't think there was some value in it. And I think he feels like he can get under Joe Schmidt's skin a little bit by doing it. And yeah, just after that last quote that you played, he did say that, you know, I might have fooled him or something along those lines, that, you know, that I might have painted pictures for Joe Schmidt that maybe will trick him into doing things that we want him to do. That was on the basis of kind of Stockdale's try back in last year's game. The fact it was a pre-planned move that Schmidt, I think, had seen at the Highlanders and put into force against the All Blacks defensive system. So, look, he's a canny operator. He said a lot of interesting things today. And Joe, like, I think if Ireland are to win this game, they need something from the Joe Schmidt playbook to break New Zealand open, because it can't be just the brute force that they've shown in the other games. Although they'll need that as well. They need to get up to the physical pitch. That's the template for beating the All Blacks. So you get up to that physical pitch, and when you get into the 22, you take your chances. They need to be better at that this weekend, and it might take one of those Schmidt plays to come out. And, you know, whatever he's been holding up his sleeve for the last 3 or 4 years, whatever he's been building towards, it's probably something that he tried at Leinster about 8 years ago that he's been sitting on for so long that it'll come out in a bit of a Joe Schmidt special. Hansen reckons he knows what's coming, but it's part of the fun. And like, Joe won't be up till Thursday, so we won't hear what he has to say. Hansen will probably have spoken again before that. So they're two very different operators, two very good coaches, two very successful men. But yeah, Hansen was good value today, all right.
Sands of time against us somewhat here, Rory, but just one final question for you. I was reading Brendan Fanning yesterday. He was saying that maybe Joe Schmidt might relish this. It's an opportunity now to reset everything. They're into a quarter final. What happened in the pool stage doesn't really matter. And now it's all about just producing a game plan for one single game against a team they've beaten in two of the last three occasions. Are we maybe being a little bit too downbeat on Ireland's chances going into this weekend?
I don't think I'm being particularly downbeat. I think New Zealand are deserved favourites. That, like, you're talking about a team who's won the last six knockout games at World Cups against a team who's never won a knockout game at any World Cup. And until Ireland do that, I think you'll always have doubts. I think any of us who've grown up watching Ireland World Cups will always have doubts about Ireland in a knockout game. Until it happens, you know, we're conditioned to think that way. Hopefully the players aren't, but those of us who watch it. And the dip this year, I mean, like, if Ireland played the way they played against England, Wales, or Japan, there's no way they're going to win this game.
That'd be a massacre if that happens. They showed it.
Well, yeah, like that, like, you know, let's not even think about that. Like, I don't think it will happen. I think there's too many good players. I think Ireland with Sexton is so much different to Ireland without Sexton. He's been so important to this team. There's too many good players in that team. There's too many winners in that team to underperform on Saturday. You know, God, that'd be awful if it happened. It'd be a terrible way to end, the most successful coach in Irish rugby history's tenure. But then they underperformed at this stage last time. They're talking a good game. I think Brendan's right. He will relish it. I mean, you know, he's not in this game for any other reason than days like Saturday. This is what he thrives on. It's big days like this. He's been building towards this for, you know, he knew it was going to be New Zealand or South Africa. He's probably had a dossier prepared on both of them for 2 years since the draw was made or whenever it was. He's watched, like, even if he wasn't an Ireland coach, he'd have watched every New Zealand game 4 or 5 times over. He's picked apart every one of those players. And I'd say he's watched Stevie Reese going back to the Mitre 10 Cup to pick out flaws in his aerial game. I'd say Johnny Sexton has been, you know, Johnny Sexton will be going after that in a big way. Like, this is Joe Schmidt's potentially his last game as an international rugby coach. it may be his greatest moment. These games have defined his time with Ireland. He's played them four times, won two, lost two. The two games he's lost have been epics. I mean, I don't know if I'm bigging this up a bit too much, but it is possibly the most fitting game that Ireland could have had at this World Cup, given the circumstances of Joe leaving. And I've always had a secret suspicion that New Zealand might be the opponent that suits Joe Schmidt's team more, because I think the Boks are just maybe a bit too powerful. It's intriguing, and I do give them a chance. I wouldn't back them, but I'd give them a real chance of causing an upset on Saturday.
Rory, thanks a million for staying up late to take our call on the show this evening, and thanks a million for joining us.
Cheers.
Monday Night Rugby on Off the Ball.
With Vodafone, official sponsors of the Irish rugby team. Team of us. Everyone in.